and welcome to the Busy Brains Step Meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Desiree and I am an alcoholic. In an effort to lessen distractions to others and to respect our speakers, you will not be able to unmute yourself during the meeting. Let's start this meeting with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. AA Preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. This is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous and all are welcome to attend, but we ask that only alcoholics participate. If you are new to AA or new to the Beacon Group, we strongly recommend home group membership and sponsorship. If you are new or not so new and looking for a sponsor, please put your name and number in the chat. If you have worked all 12 steps as outlined in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, have had a spiritual experience and are willing to sponsor, please also put your name and number in the chat. The chat will remain open during the meeting except while the speaker is sharing. Also in the chat, you will find our AA quote of the day. The quote source will always be from AA literature. Our speaker will share for 30 minutes on the step of the day, and then we split into breakout rooms for small group discussions. Each group has a moderator who will divide the time equally and invite each person to share. Questions are encouraged during the sharing part of the meeting. When you share, please be sure your environment is quiet and free of distractions. Breakout room discussions end at 12:54, followed by day counts, announcements, and the Lord's Prayer. And I have asked Lee to read the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Hi, I'm Lee and I'm an alcoholic. And these are the 12 steps. Here are the steps we took, which were suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all the persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take a personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to the alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you so much, Lee. Today, we will hear a talk on step three. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Please give a warm welcome to Tracy P. from Monterrey, Mexico. Welcome, Tracy.
Hi. Good morning. My name's Tracy and I'm an alcoholic. And my sobriety date is January 2nd, 1989. And by the grace of a God that I met in AA, I'm sober today. And I want to talk to you about that. So I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about how I got here. The state of California sent me to Alcoholics Anonymous because I had two DUIs by the time I was 20. And I had really tried to drink like a lady, and I couldn't, you know, so that's what happened is it's not how much I drank. It's not how often I drank. It's what happened to me when I drank. All bets are off. I was powerless. I could not control myself. And it was God, that really cool God. And so in We Agnostics, it says that, you know, when we refer to that, it's your understanding, you know, and the reason that I'm here today is because I had an open mind and I listened to someone or listened to all of you talk about this power, you know, and so that power started intervening in my life because I didn't die, you know, in my blackout while I was driving. And so that's my story. I was sentenced here. So I was kind of like, you know, okay, what are you guys going to teach me? You know, but they said, take the, you know, cotton out of your ears and listen to the similarities, not the differences. And I did, I heard myself. And one of the first things I heard was the incomprehensible demoralization. I was like, whoa, that's me. How do you guys know that? How do you know that that's exactly how I wake up every day? So they're insisting, you know, you admit you're an alcoholic. And I'm like, all right. You know, who's going to get the commission? Why are you guys all so bossy about, you know, wanting me to admit I'm an alcoholic? And because that's what happens is that, you know, then we can get the show on the road once we know that we need to be here. We want to be here, you know, and that's what it says in this book. And that's what I hope that I get to say right now is, that each of us in our own individual, it's on page 29, it says that each of us in our own individual language, from our own point of view, we talk about the way we establish a relationship with that God, you know, and so I remember looking at the steps up on the wall thinking, okay, I'm going to do that one in my mind. I'm going to do that one half measures. I'm going to do that one, you know, just how can I quickly jam through this thing? And definitely step three was one of those ones where, oh, I can pull this off. I can get you to think I'm doing this step. I'm a good little actress. And so I was not interested in seeing what God wanted for me. I was scared. You know, I was 21 years old and I thought, oh my God, you guys are going to make me wear long skirts and stand on the corners and pass out flyers and I won't be able to talk to boys. And I just was not interested in this new life, but I was desperate, you know? So one of the things that I look back now and it was so impactful on my life is that I was at a men's recovery home in San Diego called the Boiled Owl because they had open meetings and I was going to look for cute boys. And a woman came up to me and said, honey, have you done your third step? And I'm thinking, why do you care? And she invited me into a room and a private room where there was a window and it was open. And she said, let's get on our knees and put your arms up in the air and let's recite this prayer. And the old Tracy would have said, I'm sorry, I got to go now. But for some reason, I wanted, I don't know. I was willing. I had that little opportunity to do that action. And now I'm so grateful. That's like a huge part of this step three for me is because in the early days, I was willing to do something that was divinely inconvenient, degrading, humiliating. Like I didn't want to say a prayer with another person. I mean, I didn't even know God, you know, I didn't know how to pray. I guess I did those prayers that, you know, oh God, get me out of this one, but he never, ever, ever seemed to pay attention. And God had skipped over my house when I was a little girl. All of my neighbors belonged to a certain religion. And I remember thinking that we just weren't good enough. And so, the fact that I didn't die and, I'm here, I'm alive, and I'm in Alcoholics Anonymous. I was like, you know, little by little warming up to the idea that, you know, this is apparently, this is a big, big deal, you know, let God be in charge. And it was like, what does that look like? You know, what does that mean? That third step prayer to me was so eloquent of the victory over my difficulties. I couldn't even understand it, you know, and someone had to explain to me, honey, it's like a makeover. When you go and you get your hair done and your makeup done, there's a before and an after. That's what we're going to do here is we're going to let God do the victory over my difficulties so that I'm a candidate for the makeover, you know? And so when I let him be in charge and I'm sorry, you know, I call him, you know, this is how I am. And so please don't take offense to any of the terms that I'm using because it's your own conception. But, what people told me is that you can borrow mine. And on Monday, I said that, and my sponsor, Carol, who should be here speaking, said, why don't you call it share? Because borrowing implies that you have to give them back. So I'd like to share with you my higher power that I met in the basements of churches in San Diego. And And, you know, and actually the truth is that at the very beginning, I had a crystal quartz that I carried in my hand, and I would take it to the beach and I'd put it in the sand and think it was going to get charged up. And then I could go home and it would give me the power that I needed to arrest this alcoholism, you know, because it's over and over and in the book, you know, step one is I can't. Step two is he can. And step three is I'll let him. You know, so that's the big question is how do I let him? You know, I don't know what that looks like. And I hope that I can share with you how that looks like in my life today. You know, I'll go back and talk about what it looks like. I was on a call with the Swansea just a few minutes ago, and what I was taught and what I share with her is that probably 80% of my conversations with God are in writing. You know, I was taught that in my verbal connection is pretty small compared to how much because I was taught that this is, you know, any notebook can be the magical notebook where I get the pin out and I just start saying, hi, God, it's Tracy, you know, and show me what to do today, you know, and that hasn't always been the case. I thought I was pretty smart. I thought things were working out great. You know, if I could just get this problem with alcohol under control, you know, then I would go on about my life and then I'm smart, and, you know, and it's going to be great. But, you know, there's a part where it says, leaving the drink problem aside, why is living life so unsatisfactory? You know, and so that was the big, you know, oh, wow, I'm still here. You know, my problem, you know, wherever I go, there I am. And it describes so perfectly in pages 60 to 63, which is very often my homework. You know, I am really, really grateful that I am not, I guess I had a hard enough bottom that it's like, I'm willing to say, tell me what to do, what page to read, give me homework, because it's safe. I feel safe because if I'm doing some kind of action, some kind of homework. And so when a sponsor tells me to read page 60 to 63, it's always a beautiful thing because I get to see here, because it's me, you know, I've got it all highlighted because it's like, yes, this is Tracy. This is exactly what happens. You know, the troubles are basically my own making and it's such a beautiful thing when we can read this and we can say, yes, I am just getting into the attuned to the fact that when I go into an establishment and they make me wait and they don't give me the special treatment that I think I'm worthy of, I start getting indignant. And then I'll do that thing where it says here is that I'll try to be gracious and nice and say, how you doing, Susie? I like your shirt. You know, give me special treatment, lady. Because this is my problem. This is my alcoholism, is that I think I know what's best. You know, I heard a man say, when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I knew everything. I thought I knew everything. And he says, and it was killing me. You know, and so that's what has happened is that, the show hasn't gone off very well sometimes. In fact, most of the time, you know, I'm making messes all over the place. And it says right here that I'm in collision with everything and everybody, you know, and there's been just so, so, so many times, even with, you know, long-term sobriety, or not long-term, but just along the way, there's so many times where, you know, I'm pushing a little pee up a hill with my nose, trying to make this work because I think, you know, and then I realized, you know, oh, this is not God's will for me, you know, and to have the open mind to say, you know, maybe there's a bit better way, you know, maybe, and it goes to that contempt prior to investigation. You know, I love the little asterisk in our book when we get to go and read the spiritual experience and we get to read about, you know, belligerence being my problem. And it's not just in regards to getting a higher power, it's belligerence and everything because I'm, you know, again, thinking that I, you know, Tracy is pretty hip, slick and cool, you know, that I know. And so that's been my challenge is to let God be in charge. And the reason, you know, that now I'm so convinced today is that I get God involved in the equation from the get-go. You know, the more things, because the page 100 says that when we look back, the things that came to us when we placed ourselves in God's hands turned out better than we could have imagined. And so I hope that I can inspire you to, you know, this step three is not a, you know, do it if you want. Well, you know, you don't have to do it. You can do it mediocre. How I did it a lot of years, you know, where I was, you know, giving him the things that, you know, the big things, like the hospital things, like keep us all safe, you know, we don't car accidents. Those were the things that I was going to delegate to God. You know, he was like a spare tire in my trunk. You know, I pulled him out on emergencies, you know, and so because of on page 100, the things that came to us when we looked back, we found out that they were better than we could have imagined, you know, and so that's why I'm a firm advocate of, you know, if I got an idea, if I've got a plan, I've got a day, I woke up today. Oh, okay. Well, let's get God involved quick. You know, I heard someone say on Monday that, you know, it's like a chalkboard. And what my job is to give God the chalk before I grab it and start writing out my day, you know, or writing out, you know, what I think I want. And so I don't know about you. I don't know if you've had any, you know, running the show, directing the lights, the scenery, the ballet, and having the show not go off so well. And what happens is that it's not just a failure of a show. I've usually caused some damage. You know, there's some repercussions. You know, my character defects probably have come out, and I've ran rampant, and I'm like Cruella De Vil. I don't know if you have all seen 101 Dalmatians, but I get to, you know, sometimes when Tracy's running the show, she's got the wheel, and she's Cruella De Vil, you know, or Hulk, you know, whoever you know, I'm going to be that day. So that's the reason, you know, all this evidence, you know, because you'd think, you know, I'm sober. Can't I just be nice? You know, can't I? But no, push my buttons and my instincts and my ambitions and my security, my financial security. And then I'm like, you know, like a cat with my claws out, like step away. You know, this is going to go how I want it to go, because I think that I know how this needs to go down. And it's, you know, when I can say, oh, God, because that question, God is everything or he's nothing at all. You know, and I love a sponsor who will say to me, is God, what is that? What's your answer? Is God everything or he's nothing at all? Well, then what would this situation look like if God was everything? Oh. Well, I guess I would be handling it a little different if God were everything. So today I am very grateful to have that habit. Someone told me, sleek out of your bed. Don't step out of bed. Sleek onto the ground, onto your knees. And I apologize if that's not possible for some people, but there's a mental posture, a spiritual posture that we can take, I believe, that is on our knees, whether we're physically on our knees or not. We can have that posture of just having our arms, throwing our arms up and saying, you know, I can't, you can, I'll let you, you know, and invite him in the day as quick as possible so that I can, you know, experience it that better, you know, and there will be, you know, there will be challenges. It says that, you know, if an alcoholic fails to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through work and service, he won't endure the low spots and the trials ahead. You know, and one part that I absolutely love, you know, this literature, I just, you know, I sponsor. And so I get in the literature a lot, because if it weren't for that and my sponsor, we read, you know, so that, but rediscovering this is essential for me, because in the step three, it says when World War II broke out, the spiritual principle had its first major test. They entered the services and they're all over the world. Would they be able to take the discipline and stand up under fire and endure monotony of war and the misery of war? What kind of experience that they had learned in AA would carry them through? Well, it did. And this reminded me so much of the pandemic, because we were all over the world. We're all scattered all over the place. And you know what? We held up. I did. Because you know what, this, it says that it's this, my dependence on a higher power worked. And far from being a weakness, this dependence was a chief source of strength. You know, we commenced to rely upon AA for a solution for my alcohol problem. And in the book, it talks about that we're going to be talking about God. And therefore, we've written a book that spiritual as well as moral, and therefore we will be talking about God. And that's the purpose of this book is to, you know, to get us to get into enable us to find a power greater than ourselves, you know, because that's what the doctor's opinion talks about, is that unless I have a psychic change, unless I get this power, you know, I'm not going to, there's no hope for me. And how that has developed, you know, it's constantly developing. You know, every time there's a new thing that's thrown into the equation, you know, because I was very quick to, you know, okay, I will be done. You know, it says that's our tool. That's the way we get to go about life. We get to pause during the day and we get to say, constantly reminding ourselves, I will be done. But I didn't just wake up at 15 years of sobriety, at, you know, 3 years of sobriety and say, all right, the chip has been downloaded. And now I'm going to be this person that's seeking God. It was through trial and error. It was through that, you know, that chaos of, you know, what usually happens, the show doesn't go off very well. And so after painful experience, you know, I'm more and more likely that God is the center, you know, and it says here that the central fact of my life today is that God has entered my life. And I, you know, and that's just the kind of person I get to be today. I feel really, really blessed that I've learned this. And it is still hard. Sometimes I, you know, I'm doing this little tug of war of pushing and pulling. Sometimes it's so confusing. In the very early years, I remember being a few months sober and just literally laying in bed because I was afraid to do something that wasn't God's will. And, you know, it was like, I got instructions like, get up, make your bed, brush your teeth, you know, go do something. And then when you hit a wall, you'll realize, oh, because that, to me, there's a difference between that anxiety of fear. And then there is that's my job as a sponsor, is that I say, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I will share with you what I do. And I will hopefully connect you with a power that will. Last night on the phone at 11:30 at night, a sponsee calls and she's telling me all about a work situation. And I don't know what to say to her, but I say, you know, let's go to bed. Let's pray about this. Because I know that when we bring it to our higher power, that you will get an intuitive thought. It says here in our book, when we relax and take it easy, we will get that intuitive thought. And so that, when I feel that, like, I'm not always like, all right, God, yes, I got it. And I know what to do. March forward. You know, sometimes I feel like I've got the ball and I'm running down the field and it's like, oh, wrong way. You know, whoa, what happened here? So I, you know, it's through the lessons that, you know, the mistakes that I've made but the getting that, I've since last few years started a new way of trying to communicate and get knowledge of his will for me. And that's the two-way prayer, you know, where I sit quietly and I ask for a response. And that's how I practice step three today. I mean, to me, all of the, you know, the 3, 7, 10, 11, you know, they all kind of just get blended together. But the thing is that it says that this program can be practiced with success only when step three is given a determined and persistent trial. That the statement may surprise newcomers who have experienced nothing but constant deflation and growing conviction that human will is of no value at ever. And that's a hard pill to swallow. That we have, you know, that everything I know, that set aside prayer that we're hearing so much nowadays, because I swear I didn't hear it for 30 years. I was like, who invented that? But God, help me set aside everything I think I know about you, about this program, about the steps, about you fill in the blank. Help me set it aside and have a new experience and be teachable, you know, be teachable. So the other key thing about this step is that it's only a decision. Good news for y'all. I mean, I love that it's like, if I just, and honestly, that's been my experience, is that sometimes I think, am I making the decision? Well, if I say it out loud, and I, you know, I do, sometimes that's my prayer, is I'm, you know, God, please, you know, Calgon, take me away. I don't know if anybody remembers that, those commercials, but whenever I get to that point, because for me, it's not a done deal. I don't just do it in the morning and then zoop, I go off on my day. You know, situations come up, new situations, new people, new circumstances. And I realize, oh, I'm getting a little too invested in this. I've got my claws in this already. I'm thinking this is mine. You know, and that Bill talks about that, that that's my problem, is that I think I'm going to lose something that I've got coming to me, or not get something that I thought was already mine. And so when that happens, it's like, you know, I kind of like, you know, elbow God out and think, you know, what's happening here? You know, to hold everything loosely, like a loose garment. You know, when I've got something in my hand, you know, and I'm clenching it like this, you know, it's like, that's not, you know, that it's hard. It's really hard, but to hold things and just let it be. If it's going to be, it's going to be. If it's not, it's not. That's how step three looks to me sometimes, you know, is that what is your will? You know, what's it going to look like? And he doesn't give me more than 24 hours, heads up. You know, I may think I've got a calendar and I may think I've got stuff written down, but it's just, you know, it's all subject to change according to, you know, his perfect will. Because, and then honestly, when I look back, I realize, wow, I was so headstrong on, I wanted that blue box, the blue box, the blue box, the blue box. God, why are you not giving me the blue box? And he's, you know, saying, I'm going to give you the red bag, you know, and then later when I get the red bag, I think, wow, that was exactly what I needed. And one of the stories in the back of the book, I think Freedom from Bondage, says that I got what I inevitably got what I wanted all along, you know? And so that's what I hope, that if anybody's struggling, you know, just, you know, take the leap, you know, just try to enlarge your spiritual life today, because there's a warning, you know, that's what happened with Jim. He put whiskey in his milk because he failed to enlarge his spiritual life. And so for me, this is a life or death thing. You know, I can run rampant and I can be in that self-will run riot and I can be running the show and I can, you know, do all kinds of damage. But at any given moment, I'm in danger of, you know, losing my sobriety. And it's not possible, you know, to get far. It's not possible to get far. I usually fall on my face pretty quickly. And then maybe even just be thinking, you know what, this is a joke. I can't be here. I want to die. Maybe not picking up a drink, but just, you know, Bill talks about, I was plagued by waves of self-pity and resentment that almost took me back to drink. And, you know, and I don't know about you guys, but that, you know, it's a one day at a time thing for me, because my defects of character can come back really quickly. And so not just about my activities in life and God, what am I going to do today? It's like, God, you know, you run the show. You know, there's a song I listen to that says, I'm going to let him steal the show. You know, I've retired. I'm no longer a star, you know, in my own show today. I let God run the show. I let him steal it. And, you know, but that's taken a long time to get to that conviction. And it's only as strong as my, you know, as my, that decision that day, you know, that day. So if we make that decision that, you know, okay, yes, I'm convinced, you know, self will run riot. You know, I can't do that anymore. You know, you get tired, you know, you get tired, we get exhausted. It talks about being, you know, we're not burning up foolish energy, foolishly trying to run the show according to my specific demands. And so it's wonderful. It's a wonderful. And the thing that I, recently really, you know, after working with people and reading the book and, you know, and getting more, cause my book was kind of up on the shelf, you know, and I suffered because of that. And you know, and God was this little, you know, like I said, he was a spare tire in my trunk, pull him out when necessary, you know, how much time did I spend with him? Ooh, you know, 30 seconds in the morning and, you know, and maybe at night giving him a thank you. But now, after repeated humiliations and trial and error, you know, it's like, he's a part of my day, you know, because one of the things I love so much, they're called the promises of step three on page 63. And it says, when we sincerely, I cross it out and write, when I sincerely took such a position, all sorts of remarkable things followed. I have a new employer. Being all powerful, he provides what I needed if I keep close to him and perform his work well. Established on such a footing, I became less and less interested in myself and my plans and my designs. And I used to read that and it was like, no way. I am still interested in purses and getting things on sale. And, you know, and not that I'm not today, but that is not my priority. And you would not believe how things fall into me. Like, you know, there's a little quote that, you know, delight in God and he will give you the desires of your heart. I've ended up getting things that I wanted, when I put it over there in the back burner, like it doesn't matter anymore. What matters is, God, I need to feel your presence. That's my biggest prayer, is please let me feel, you know, I got recently separated, you know, over the last few years. And that was, you know, such a blow. It was like, oh my gosh, there's no one physically here. God, you know, please, I need you to show up. I need to feel. I had to make a decision yesterday to buy a washing machine. I had to cry, call my sponsor. I don't know how to do anything, but you know what? God shows up for me today. And so anyway, so I get to be less and less in my little plans and designs, and more become interested in what I contribute to life. You know, that's a shocker for me. I was, you know, that took a long time for this promise to come true for me. But it's a beautiful way to live. It's a beautiful way to live. So I feel this is the thing. This is what I come back for. Because in the doctor's opinion, it talks about that sense of ease and comfort that comes at once from that first drink. So, oh, yes, we agree. How, you know, that's I love that moment. Well, guess what? Here I get. I feel the new power flow in. That's the sense of ease and comfort I get today, is from working this third step. You know, the sense of ease and comfort, you know, I feel the power flow in, and I enjoy peace of mind. Cha-ching! That's what I want. I want to keep coming back. I need peace of mind, and I know how to find it today. You know, I practice this step and I get these promises. I feel the new power flow in, and I enjoy peace of mind. I can discover that I can face life successfully. You know, oh my God, look at me. I'm buying washing machines. I became conscious of his presence. I begin to lose my fear of today, tomorrow, and hereafter. I am reborn. So that's why I think that this is like, I really think this is my favorite step. And I encourage you, if you're doing it the way you've been doing it for the last, you know, whatever, or you don't, if you want some ideas, you know, that's why we get to come and just keep sharing about how this, our experience, you know, because it comes to life. And then we hopefully will answer that question. I believe that every time I share that, that this question of the why we have this book is that we hope that it's in the prologue or the foreword, that where we hope that when you read these stories, okay, you hear this message, that you will say, yes, that happened to me. Or more importantly, yes, I believe, I believe that can happen for me too. You know, and so that's what I hope is that, you know, if you're stagnant, or if you're not sure, and if you're, you know, you've got this higher power that you're not that comfortable with, because unless you have, and that's the thing, is that mine's got this reputation today that is just over and over and over of better. And, but it hasn't always been like really comfortable. Sometimes it's divinely inconvenient and painful. But whenever I look back, that's the key words, looking back. You know, that, so my, the concept of my higher power, you know, and Bill says in step two that in the 12 and 12, that I don't know at what point I came to believe, but I know I have it now. And all I had to do was stop fighting, you know, stop. So when we stop fighting and we can just jump in, you know, jump in, just do this posture of just throw our arms up and say, I can't, he can, I'll let him, you know, with more, you know, more of my life today, more aspects of my life. It just keeps getting better and better and better. And so I get rocketed into the fourth dimension, and, you know, who would have thought, you know, that showing up and being available for other alcoholics and being so generously giving back what was so freely given to me, you know, that way of life is just the absolute, you know, it's an absolute luxury. It's absolute privilege today, because I did not wake up in an orange jumpsuit, y'all. I woke up and I get to come here and I get to share with you about what God's doing in my life today. And I hope that you got something from that. Thank you so much for inviting me. And I hope you have a wonderful day, and I love you.